Welcome into a new episode of the Maine Celtics podcast. We have our first homestand in the books. Also, our featured guest coming up this week, Jay Scrubb, former two-way contract player of the Boston Celtics. He is in Maine Celtics screen for 2024-25, former second-round pick of the Brooklyn Nets. Jay Scrubb joining us this week. Brendan Glasheen and John Scheiman, your broadcast team on NBC Sports Boston, home of Maine Celtics basketball. Also, 96.3, the big jab across your radio dial. Coming off a 1-1 weekend, John, for the Maine Celtics. Our first taste together in the Expo, first and foremost, what'd you make of the weekend?
I thought it was a great weekend. Celtics won, in my opinion, 3 out of 4 halves. You know, it's philosophically of the organization, they're going to shoot great three-point shots. And you're going to have days when they just don't drop. And that's what happened on Friday, and they made the corrections on Sunday. Player-led teams have the highest ceiling, so when the coach doesn't have to remind you of that, you're going to have a lot of success. And it's a credit to the organization, to Coach Lashbrook, and they bounced back and really put a stellar show on Sunday. Really exciting weekend.
It really was. I mean, the Larry O'Brien trophy in the building on Sunday had the bad taste in your mouth. And we're going to find this out. Folks that might be new to the G League, have followed the G League, these two-game series are always really intriguing because how one team throws the first punch, how do you respond to that punch? And that's what we saw on Sunday. The Celtics, as we talked about this, like, it's really hard to only make 6 threes on 40-plus attempts on Friday. You got to think you're going to have a better day, and that's what happened on Sunday, right?
Yeah, that stat, only 6 threes at the percentage that they shot, that won't win a lot of junior high school games, and that's what happened. And there are going to be days like that, but, you know, philosophically, they're going to make a lot more threes. And like Baylor Scheinman said in his post-game interview, which – we'll see a little bit later. You know, I'm not worried about make or miss. That's my job, and that's professional athletes' job in the G and in the NBA. You just have to keep growing on everything else.
Yeah, and I think so. The final tally Friday was 10 for 46. At one point, it was like 6 for 40, whatever. So, but that speaks to the better fourth quarter. And again, back to what I just mentioned about the series. You have a good fourth quarter from your bench, and the bench has been good for Maine, top 5 scoring bench in the G League. That carried over, I felt, into Sunday. Like, okay, if we get stops and we string together some stops here, we're going to be just fine. So I think that comeback bid, they were down 51, set up for Sunday. And you look at it now, I mean, you get that win on Sunday, and your point differential is not all that bad at 2-2, in a pivotal Showcase Cup. We're seeing it in the tip-off tournament Showcase Cup last year. The NBA Cup, as we witnessed the Celtics, we're recording on Wednesday. The Celtics beat the Cavs last night, but the Celtics still are trailing Atlanta because of that point differential in the NBA Cup Group C standings. So that point differential matters. So seeing the comeback Friday, I think, was pivotal. As far as Sunday's concerned, John, the two-way contract players from Maine, I think we're both pretty used to the fact that J.D. Davison is going to be a common customer every day, but it was good to see, and you said this before we started, it was good to see Drew Peterson settled. It felt like it was wiped the cobwebs off on Friday, and Sunday he looked a lot more comfortable.
He looked a lot more comfortable. But Friday, as I've shared with you off air, I thought Friday he was trying real hard to bring energy and showed great maturity, got a few offensive rebounds. And as I've said repeatedly, there are days where sometimes it's just not going to go in the basket. And that was Friday. Peterson was phenomenal all weekend, as I said, trying to bring effort, energy, maturity, as were all the two ways and Baylor Scheinman. Celtics organization has to be really, really pleased with their two-way players, and as well as Baylor coming up or down, depending on how you look at it, to the Maine Celtics and getting really big minutes and proving it. He's just a superior basketball player with a high IQ.
Yeah, that last part, for sure. As a floor spacer, I think he changes the dynamic, right? And I think it's a good point about Drew bringing energy, but I think there's also there's got to be some thought process there too. Like, well, we just did a really nice job on offense and knocked down threes and spaced the floor well when they beat Delaware on Monday. So that's the tricky. I mean, that's exactly what this league is. When you've got a guy who parachutes in, coming from the big operation in Boston, shooting up to Maine, how do the pieces fit? We're going to see this in the league all year. I mean, Westchester's going to have this case now. Moses Brown, who owned the glass over the weekend with the Westchester Knicks at a standard G League deal, just got an NBA contract from the Pacers. So, I mean, maybe he should be thanking the Celtics. I think he would like to thank his Westchester teammates, but that's an example of what this league is. So now Westchester, 3-1, great start, rebounding the basketball. Your best center is now in the NBA, right? So that's the fun roller coaster ride that is the G League. And Peterson's an example of that, I felt like. Being out for two, being back, needed one to get used to things again, has a good Sunday.
And Moses Brown, just, and on this thought, you and I chatted off air, what a great example of why you really need to get out to the Portland Expo and watch these fantastic players. So you and I watched Moses Brown in person, and he put on a clinic on how to, you know, play when you're 7 feet tall. And 2 days later, as you sent me that text astutely, he's in the NBA, and that's what it's about.
No doubt. I mean, I think that's, and we're seeing it more and more, that it's not just a league where you stash picks and just kind of see what happens when it comes out of the blender. There's a true symmetry, and you're seeing it with more and more franchises now, with 30 teams that are now owned in the league, owned or under an affiliate branding from the NBA club. So Moses Brown, great example. Congrats to him. Well-deserved after a huge weekend. I did wonder, though, just side note, and you're a Knicks guy, before your time now with the Celtics.
Hold on. Timeout. We're going to correct for the people right now. I've lived in England for 40 years. I grew up in New York, yes. As a kid, I was a Knicks fan.
Okay, kid, whatever.
We need to correct that. And
I wasn't even done my sentence. Anyway,
yeah, I interrupted you. We work well together.
Anyways, you probably still follow the Knicks. Well, we follow the Knicks just because of the Eastern Conference. Everyone liked the Knicks coming into the year, maybe to challenge the Celtics for the Eastern Conference crown. I did wonder, just a side note, the Knicks do need front court depth. Moses Brown may have been good for them, but the Pacers got him. So who knows? I mean, the Pacers, that's a little tug of war.
I did think that during the series, I almost texted our good friend Radio Man for the Knicks, Tyler Murray, that we've referenced to see what his thought. But before I got the text out, I got your text that Moses signed with Indiana. So, you know, good for him taking advantage of that opportunity.
Yes, yes. And I think, you know, Jonathan Wall is the general manager of the Capital City Go-Go. Not to be confused with John Wall, two different people. But Jonathan Wall talked about this, and we'll get to Capital City after we talk to Jay Scrub. But for Capital City, and this is the case for every team, your roster in Westchester is going to experience this now. Every roster, in all likelihood, is going to change after the winter showcase in Orlando. It's just the nature of the biz. And then not to mention when we get to buyouts, trade deadline, into the new year. You mentioned Baylor Shireman, who was 3-for-10 from three Friday. Bounces back. I mean, 3-for-10 is still pretty good. 30% is not great, but it's, you know, he's getting the volume. He's getting looks. Goes 5-for-10 off the bench once again for the Celtics. 20 points, 11 rebounds. John, my take on Baylor Shireman in person, and I think I said this to you at one point, he looks like a kid that just shows up to the school. Not a kid. I'm doing the kid thing again. 5-year college player, Creighton, and he's
24 years old.
Yeah, and I'm 31, so he's not that much younger than me.
That's my point.
Yes, Baylor. You can say that. Baylor. He looks like someone who's just ready to go out to the park and roll out the balls and let's go. He is a junkyard dog the way he plays.
He is a pure basketball player. I had the pleasure of walking out with him, just sheer coincidence, on Friday. We were chatting a little bit. He can play. And like he said, as we mentioned earlier in a post-game interview on Sunday, he's not worried if the ball is going to go in the basket. He really loves coming in at 6 minutes, because if he's going to grow in the NBA, he's not going to start on the Boston Celtics. So he gets a point. These are his words, and Coach Lashbrook has said as well. So he observes an opportunity, because that's hard, you know, Creighton. And when he was a jackrabbit before that, he never came off the floor. Why would you take him off the floor?
Right.
So now he has to learn to come off the bench, and more importantly, to stay mentally sharp, so when coach calls on him, be it Coach Lashbrook or Coach Mazzulla, he's ready to go in real time and there's no adjustments. And that's one of the harder adjustments for guys to, when you go from college to professional, you have to be ready mentally on a moment's notice. And as you know, you only have that split second, maybe, to prove yourself. So it was really mature of Baylor to say that. Coach Lashbrook said that. As we said on the air, sky's the limit. I've been nothing short of impressed by him.
And it helps, certainly, when he has his opportunities. Of course, again, he's a first-round pick, so he's under Celtics control. When he does appear at TD Garden or if he hits the road with the Boston Celtics, watching guys that have done it at this level, such as Jordan Walsh. As a starter, granted, Sam Hauser, who has, you know, the way the previous head coaches in Maine, such as a Jarrell Christian or Alex Barlow or Blaine Miller last year, the way they use their rotations, they make it, it's not just the minutes per se and coming off the bench, but almost how they're managing the clock as coaches. I think they try to keep that clock very similar to what they're getting in the association. Here is Baylor Shireman post-game after the win on Sunday over Westchester, emulating his role in Boston, how it's working out in Maine.
I'm really just focused on bringing energy, defending, rebounding, and then hitting open shots. And, you know, coming off the bench here I think is really good. And just in terms of staying ready mentally on the bench there for the first, 6 minutes. And then when I come in, I'm really ready to play.
So there's Baylor, John, discussing defense and the importance of defense to stay on the floor. And having seen Sam Hauser come from a G League standard contract guy to a two-way and then an NBA standard deal, Sam Hauser stays on the floor in the NBA right now because he can defend wings. And it's no longer, I think, a liability that folks may have thought. Like, Sam Hauser can defend the wing, but he's not going to be on the floor if he doesn't defend. I think that's why, for Shireman to have that recognition and understand, and he's already been on record about this, he doesn't look at the G League, and I think more guys are finding this out as you use that stat. We're going to use it all here. 60% of NBA players have G League experience. This is not a demotion. This is to make sure you are ready when you step on the floor to play both ends of the floor.
And guys like to play. Shireman's quoted, you just heard in the interview, he likes to compete. Opportunities to play are wonderful opportunities if you're a basketball player, and he is all of that. And to your point about defense, Coach Lashbrook talked to us about this on Friday. That's his job, to teach the guys to play defense, or else you're not going to play in the NBA. And that's one of the hardest transitions from college to the NBA, is you have to do all the little things to get those minutes. That's being in the right place, understanding your assignments when you check in the game, and especially defensively, because the guys playing the 30, 40 minutes don't have patience for somebody to miss a rotation and give up a shot, which is the difference between winning or losing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think there was an offensive board sequence in one of our games where he got the board, kicked it out, and I believe it was Scrub who gave it back to him, rewarded him for his hustle and set up a three. So he's everywhere. He's snaking around to the basket, and then all of a sudden he sprays out for jump shots. So it's not just the three-point shooting, which I know folks get excited about when they watch Hauser, for example, just using that parallel with a former, a wing guy who can defend, brings length, can guard multiple wing positions. Baylor Shireman, head on his shoulders, good head on his shoulders, off to a good start with the Maine Celtics.
And the best quote from that interview, enjoy the opportunity to play.
And you said it. I mean, he's used to playing like 40 minutes a night for Creighton, and he never came out of the game for South Dakota State when he was in the ball game. So on to our guest. This is someone I feel like, I think folks in Maine, the folks that come out to the Expo, this is a player that will be a fan favorite by the end of the season. We wish him good health. He is in good health right now. Jay Scrub coming back from the ACL injury, still trying to get himself right. Had 12 points in the Friday game, but I bring up Friday, even though it wasn't pretty. Celtics had a good fourth quarter, and Jay Scrub scored all 12 of his points in the fourth quarter. Energy guy, kept that crowd engaged with his level of play on the floor. Jay Scrub is our guest this week on the Maine Celtics podcast. Happy to be joined by Jay Scrubb of the Maine Celtics. He is our guest this week on the Maine Celtics podcast, nicknamed Skrilla. We were just getting that situated before we got started. He had the chain on media day. You bring a lot of energy. You bring some spunk on and off the floor. It's great to see you out there healthy. How are things? How are you feeling now a couple weeks into the season?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm just happy to be back out there. I missed a whole year last year, so I'm not really too much worried about, you know, scoring the most points or, you know, having the better stats. I'm just worrying about just staying healthy, man, and having fun. And that's been the biggest thing in these last three games that I played, is just trying to have fun, man, get out there and be around a great group of guys and just try to create a contagious energy.
Yeah, you know, it's your second year with the Celtics. You're on a two-way last year. Then you had the injury, back with the G League team on a G League deal. There's nothing, though, that can match game speed, right? Like, I know you guys have hard runs in practice. You're ramping it up, getting ready for the season. But I'm sure having real game exposure now, you're taking some hits that you wouldn't be accustomed to, right? Like, that's helping you build it back up.
No, for sure. And that just gains more confidence in your body, gains more confidence in yourself. And you know what I'm saying? I'm just happy that we got a competitive group of guys that comes in and competes every day and competes at a high level to where we can create that game tempo as much as we can. Of course, we can't interpret it in practice, but the harder we play in practice and the more we compete in practice, the easier it is in games.
All right, we'll get to Jay's thoughts on the team and how that's progressing. For the listeners, though, for folks that might be learning about you for the first time, and I think a lot of Celtics fans, they monitor this team very closely because of the top-tier talent at the NBA level, but then they're thinking, okay, how are they going to fill out the rest of the roster? You were on their radar last year. But for those who might not know, you played 2 years of junior college basketball at John A. Logan College in Illinois. You were a repeat first team, all JUCO, all American, NABC player of the year. After your sophomore season in 2020, you opt to enter the NBA draft. There were some opportunities for you to maybe go to Division I NCAA basketball. How did you know, if you can take us back now, 4 or 5 years now, how did you know you were ready for the league? How did you feel in your body? What's going through your mind there to say, okay, I'm ready for the next level?
Right. So just competing with different professional guys in the off season, you know, being around different professional guys, and just I would say about two camps that really made that played a big part in my decision. It was Team USA Basketball, and another camp it was Nike Skills, and that's where a lot of the college guys that, you know, the next year, the one and dones and things like that, guys that are projected to be one and done, they're all at those camps, the Team USA and Nike Skills. So I had did really good in those camps, and I had got some good feedback after my sophomore season. And it had got to a point to where during my sophomore season at junior college, it was more NBA scouts coming to my practice and reaching out than it was college scouts. So, you know, as the season came to an end, it was just – I sat down with my family, and that was a big option for me. It's always been a dream for me to play in the NBA. So when it was presented, especially coming out of JUCO, it was a no-brainer.
I'm sure, too, when you have those workouts and you're getting run with those guys, you're thinking, okay, he played there, you played there, you're getting that look, so I belong. I'm sure there's a sense you felt, I belong in this mix.
Correct.
Good stuff. So that's brought to you to where you are. Would you say... It's cliche because looking at it now, you're having a great career. You were second round pick in the NBA draft. I mean, come on now, that's good stuff. But does the junior call, and please say what you just told me before we got started. You see parallels in junior college and the G League just being slept on. Did that put a chip on your shoulder and kind of prepare you for now?
Not for sure. It definitely put a chip on my shoulder and just one of those things where it's like I got to fight a lot harder just coming from junior college. You know, there's only been one other player that's been drafted from junior college. So it's not a place where a lot of NBA teams is like looking at junior college like, oh, he's our guy. So, you know what I'm saying? I always had the claw fight and scratch, and I'm used to it, man. I love it that way. I wouldn't want it any other way.
So you were a scorer in college, 21-plus points per game, and you're a first-team selection player of the year. Then you go to the G League – with the Clippers on a two-way contract in 2020. You light it up. You have a good year there, 20-plus points again. Injury ends the season. Then you were in Lakeland, and I'm pretty sure, I think we talked about this, Lakeland came to Maine, and you were a factor for that team. And I joke, I almost feel like the G League sometimes, it reminds me of other pro sports from, like, coaches or organizations are like, how do we get that guy on our team? Because he's lighting us up. How do we go get him? And eventually that ended up being the case. You were in the Celtics organization since last year. Anything specific in that first year with the Clippers in Lakeland that stood out to you as far as, okay, I'm taking steps?
Just really, like you said, the injury part, like, it's never really been basketball for me. It's always been just staying healthy and things like that. So my first year, I had a dominant year in the G League, and you know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm going in the direction that I'm supposed to be going in. I have an injury. And then the next year I come back, I lead the G League in points total. And I come back, I have an awesome summer league, get signed by the Celtics, and we're right back there and I have another injury. So it's never been basketball for me. It's always been pretty much the injury. So just trying to find that balance of, you know what I'm saying, being that great basketball player and taking care of my body, and now at this point in my career. So, you know, I feel confident that I'll get back there. I just got to figure out, you know, the other aspect now, just taking care of my body, staying healthy, and things like that.
You know, it was 23 points a game in Lakeland in 22-23. And I think what stands out to me, at least, is you shot 48% from the floor. So you're not – you're shooting a good clip for a guard, for a wing player, which that jumps out. You're not just getting, you know, 25 shots up. You're making almost half of them every night. Look, you can be, and you know, you can say, I don't want to talk about, but like, do you get sick and tired of talking about the injury thing?
I do and I don't, because that's been a thing that's been holding me back this at this point in my career. So it's just one of those things where I got to be honest with myself. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things where it's like, it's bittersweet, of course, but in order to get to the next point, get to the next chapter of my life, that's something that I have to get over. And that's something that's going to always be, you know what I'm saying, the topic of the conversation until we get past it.
I respect that. I respect that your humility about it. Can you give fans and folks that are tuning in a sense, how difficult is it, especially in ACL, coming back from
that? Sure. Yeah, it's one of the most tougher things to do mentally, just because you're in your head worrying about the move you can make. Am I moving the same? Can I jump the same? Can I close out the same? Like, can I run the same? It's one of those tougher things to deal with. But as you work more and more, and you're in the gym more and more, and you're around people that knows your injury, knows what you've been through and things like that, and pours confidence into you, it helps. Even the fans coming up to me asking me how I'm doing and things like that, they don't know how much that helps me. So it's one of those things where it can make or break you, really, mentally.
Yeah, I think folks too are captivated, especially if you're a good player. I'll use it a Boston example. You know, Kristaps Porzingis has had some injury history. I think folks are just, they're captivated by the unknown, because then they see game one of the finals last year and they think, oh my goodness, this guy can play. So if we have him for, call it 68 games out of 82, we're thrilled, right? Or you go in a long playoff run, you have him more than you don't have him. So the unknown of players that have to struggle through some injuries, folks are rooting for players like that, especially one like yourself who displays a lot of humility. You can just tell with only knowing you now for a couple of weeks. Who are some guys that Jay Scrubb leans on, like, for advice? So whether it be injury, who are some folks that, mentors, folks that you lean on?
Guys that are in my corner, like that whole process when I was with Boston for training camp and summer league and things like that, like I could lean on the whole Celtics organization. I could lean on my family, my agent, everybody. Like guys who are in my corner, those are who I can lean on the most. Like if something was to happen and like, you know what I'm saying, I remember this conversation going back to, you know what I'm saying, us talking, I could come to you and be like,
me.
You know, Yeah, different things like that. As long as we have a relationship established, I don't mind, you know what I'm saying, picking anybody's brain, really.
When Jay Scrubb was playing, I'm using third person, I think it just delivers better. When you grew up playing basketball at a young age before you went to high school, college, who were some players that you watched in the league that you're like, okay, I like that. I like the way he plays, or I like the way so-and-so plays. I'm motivated by that player.
Nah, this is crazy because I tell everybody this, and for the people that know me, they know I'm not lying. I'm not making this up. Before I started playing basketball, I never watched anybody. I never watched no basketball, nothing like that. Up until my junior year of high school, I wasn't really a basketball guy. I played baseball, I played football and things like that. But when I hit a growth spurt my junior year, that's when I started playing.
Baseball position. Outfielder?
I played outfield. I played center field, left field, and played first base. First base was my main position.
I figured that. I was going to guess first. I thought that was too easy with the but your athletics. I thought maybe outfield and you're a lefty.
Then I started throwing some heat. I started throwing some heat around eighth grade. So.
And you played football too?
Yeah, I played football as well.
If you're 6'5", hold on, let me guess. 6'5".
I wasn't always 6'5", though. I wasn't always.
That's 6'5". True. Okay. All right, fair enough.
That's not playing football actually because I grew.
Receiver?
Yeah, I play receiver. I played quarterback early on, and then I moved to receiver once I started, filling out a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, but eventually when you got taller, the quarterback position makes sense to see over that line. I get that. Yeah. And you got to have some strength. You could sling it a bit. You could sling the rock.
For sure.
Did you ever think about football in college?
Yeah, nah, definitely. But it was one of those things where it was like basketball was just more. I loved it naturally, like. Baseball and football was fun because I could be around my friends and things like that. But like basketball was one of those things where, you know what I'm saying? You open the garage, you dribbling on your own, you in your room, you dribbling on your own. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things that I fell in love with, you know what I'm saying? Kind of solo.
Well, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, you can get as many reps in basketball wise as you want. I realize you can go to a batting cage and hit or take grounders, but you need somebody else hitting you the ball,
exactly.
Right? And you need someone to throw you the ball to hit the ball.
I could just be outside dribbling my basketball, just, you know what I'm saying, without a care in the world.
Yep. And I think that's why the game has become global, and it is the global game now, basketball. You said something earlier about this current team and being with this organization. I think, and you've come to learn that you don't need to, and you have proven at this level you can score at will. We just mentioned your Westchester game last Friday, the home opener. You had 12 points all in the fourth quarter, so you can go on a personal 6-8-0 run, whatever it may be. But you don't have to score all the points to make an impact on winning. No. What exactly about the Celtics, since you've been with the organization as a two-way and even now this year in the G League, dominantly in the G League, what about this organization? What do you see fit for you? How do you fit what the organization is looking to accomplish?
Just coming in and be one of those guys that does it all. Like, you know, guards the best player, gets on the defensive end, brings the energy, knocks down open shots. I've been a scorer. Up until I started playing basketball. So it's just trying to carve out different roles, find my niche, you know what I'm saying, for the league. That's what it's all about, is finding your role and being a star in your role. So at this point in my career, I'm just trying to find a role that I could be a star in and you know what I'm saying, execute that.
No shortage of wings on this team, this main Celtics team, the wing depth. When you bring Shireman down, you have Drew Peterson, Ron Harper Jr., Shackle on the wing as well. He's a pretty, I think he's a solid defender too. His defense is a little underrated, I think, but he can shoot it. We know that. How do you guys all go about challenging each other on a day-to-day basis?
Just competing. That's what it's all about. Just competing, trying to get each other better in an unmalicious way, man. And that's what this group has done a great job of doing, man. Just everybody bringing it every day and finding their role and being a star in their role. I would say the last couple games, that's what has been everybody trying to figure out, you know what I'm saying, where they can be great at. And once we do, we're going to be a great team. Well, we're already a great team, but that's going to take us over the top.
Yeah, right now I think it's just a matter of figuring out who needs to go where and figuring out each other, because that is one of the beauties. It can be one of the struggles, but also one of the beauties of the G League is it's hard. Like given like the parent club, for example, there's continuity. I think we saw last year in the NBA playoffs, teams that had some continuity were in there at the end.
Right.
But for this league, as you know, there's showcases coming up in December where there's moving parts all the time, season to season, even within the season. So you think you guys are just scratching the surface right now?
For sure. 100%. 100%.
So we'll end on this. You're an energy guy, and you bring some spunk to the floor, on and off the floor. Anything that we haven't talked about that Jay Scrub would like to get out there to the people? We are on YouTube, so this is like we're on the internet.
Yeah.
Anything out there you want to set the truth on, or is there something, a fun fact about Jay Scrub that the people need to know about?
Man, I'm an open book, man. Everything that I need to, you know what I'm saying? Everybody knows pretty much everything about Jay Scrub. I just want everybody to know, man, the fans at Maine Celtics, man, just stay with us. Keep coming out to the games. Keep supporting us, man. We're going to keep bringing high-energy dubs to the Maine organization, to the expo. And hopefully, man, we can bring that trophy back home.
That's a great point. I should ask you this, too. What'd you make of the atmosphere? I know Friday, I thought Friday was telling because you guys are getting beat pretty good.
Yeah.
But they stayed. There was a good contingent of folks. And when you went on that little scoring run yourself, that was impressive. And there was some pop in the building for a game that was out of hand already.
You can't do nothing but appreciate it, man. Guys, I mean, fans that stay loyal to the organization no matter what's going on, no matter the highs or the lows, you stay consistent and stay behind us, man. That's what we need going forward, man. And that's going to be the biggest thing for us to win is having an organization behind our back, having a community behind us and things like that, man. That's what's going to make us go farther.
Jay Scrub of the Maine Celtics, thanks so much for this. I'm rooting for you. Love the attitude. Love your approach to everything. Looking forward to some more memories and some highlights throughout the season. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you, brother.
All right, let's look ahead to the weekend. The Celtics are taking on the Capital City Go-Go G League affiliate of the Washington Wizards. They do bring back some players from last year's team, so there is some familiarity. Michael Foster Jr., former G League Ignite guy, he's fun to watch, and he's given Maine fits in the past. That's just a name that jumps off the page. Leaky Black is another one who brings some energy, and when he's there for them, they're a problem. We'll get into the nitty-gritty on them in just a second. You want to know how to tune into the games? We'll have the broadcast live on NBAGLeague.com Friday night at 7 o'clock. There is crossover with Boston, so we will not be on NBC Sports Boston Live. We will be tape delayed, so you can tune in late Friday night over the weekend as well. Check your local listings for Maine Celtics basketball on TV. But we will be live on NBAGLeague.com Friday night, 7 o'clock, and then Sunday at 1 o'clock, Maine Celtics basketball will be live on NBA TV. NBA TV on Friday, of course, NBAGLeague.com as well. And let's see, what else? You can also find us on 96.3 The Big Jab. I did have a thought, and I spoke to someone over at NBC Sports Boston. We will not be live leading to Celtics Timberwolves, which is at 3:30, because they got to do pregame and all that good stuff at the Garden. So we will be on tape delay on NBC Sports Boston, but live Sunday, 1 p.m. And of course, we prefer that you hop over to MaineCeltics.com, get your tickets for Friday and Sunday's games when the Celtics take on the Capital City Go-Go, MaineCeltics.com. Okay, John, Capital City had a weekday game this week. They played Raptors 905. What jumped out to you?
Great resiliency. They made great halftime adjustments. They were turning the ball over in the first half last night. They owned the bakery. That's how many turnovers they had. And then they adjusted and made shots and dominated the second half versus the Raptors last evening. They have some dudes that could play. They have some guys that could shoot. They're going to be a handful in Maine this weekend. And we chatted about this off air. It's hard in any sport to sweep. It just is. I mean, that's why you play series. So I encourage everybody, if you can, to come to the expo either Friday or Sunday.
Yeah, there are a lot of really cool, the thing about going to the expo too, no matter what weekend you come or whatever game, if it's a standalone or a one-off, not even just one of these series, is you come and then you leave a game and you're like, you remember the guys in Maine, especially if there's continuity. So your Davisons, your Petersons, or your Jordan Walsh last year, of course, being in the second rounder in the organization. But then you watch the opponent. And Justin Champagny is a great example of this. Justin Champagny's been in the league now, this is his fourth year. Champagne was an East Coast mainstay in the G League. I mean, he'd be up and down throughout the G League around the East Coast, and he's putting up good numbers. He's got a good body coming out of Pittsburgh, Brooklyn kid. Does a really nice job defending, but he's a pro. He's a G League pro, meaning that he, no matter his situation, he does a pretty good job connecting guys, I feel like. And there you go, Justin Champagne, 2 years ago, 2022-2023, he's playing two April games for the Boston Celtics. That's one of those cool, like, huh, look at that. You stick with it, you earn your stripes, people recognize that stuff. So that was after the G League season, so these guys are kind of, you know, looming with no home. Champagne at the time was not on a two-way. But Justin Champagne is one of those guys who, that's why they came back in that game last night. Like, he's one of those connecting guys that doesn't stop playing and believing.
He could play and adds a great motor. And I was impressed by Capital City. They do have a great motor. Last evening, watching Ruben Nembhard, TCU player, he was fantastic at 22 points, seven assists. And he was asked after the game in his post-game interview, what stat did he like the best? And he put a great smile on and said winning. And then the second was assists. And that speaks volumes. Also want to say, like to your point about Champagne, he said, if we play well together, we're all going to get called up. And that's the ultimate goal. That was, I'm just quoting Ruben Nembhard when he was talking with D. Lynam last night after in post-game. And I thought they were great quotes, and that's why I'm sharing them as we look forward to watching them play against the Maine Celtics this Friday and Sunday.
Yeah, and Nembhard's had the taste of the league. He was with the Cavs back in 21-22, so he's felt that that next level being in his grasp, that's for sure. John Butler Jr., the big guy, not as filled out as Moses Brown, but they've got a big guy who can stretch the floor. He can stretch the floor certainly better than Brown can. But Taylor Funk, old friend. Taylor Funk started the year in Maine last year. He's a sharp shooter, played for Phil Martelli, or recruited by Phil Martelli at St. Joseph's, did a grad year at Utah State, had a great tournament, a good first round in the tournament, so that put his name on the radar. Mo Gay, their big guy. I was watching some of the highlight film last night, two of their game. Mo Gay got a lot of run. That, when they get out and run, Mo Gay is the guy on the receiving end of running the break as a big guy.
Mo had played 32 minutes and had 18 points last night. That's a pretty impressive outing. And you mentioned Funk. He led the club yesterday with 10 rebounds and connections to Boston. It's going to be a great weekend of basketball. Looking forward to it.
Very much so. So there's your outlook of the Capital City Go-Go. They had a weekday game, as we mentioned, against Raptors 905. They take on the Celtics this weekend. Maine is not playing again till Friday, so you're not missing anything during the week. Yeah, Mo Gay, someone to watch. I think that's a challenge. But, yeah, the Celtics. One thing we noticed, John, I thought that was a lot better just on the Celtics side. How do we look at the matchup, Celtics Go-Go? Well, a trend we've noticed from Maine. Second quarters, fourth quarters, pretty dialed in, not coming out of the locker room in both cases, right? They're coming off a quick chat. I mean, you tell me as the coach, you're a pep talk. I've heard, you tell me, you say like four or five things, you hope they remember one when they get back out there, right?
Well, it's the one question I forgot to ask Coach Lashbrook Sunday morning before the game. And I said this on the air with you. I thought Sunday was, even though they were losing by a point or two at the time, was the best start. So they played four games, three starts that are not ideal. And Sunday start was ideal, but, you know, back and forth contest, two very well-coached teams. So hopefully that will continue to grow for the Maine Celtics and a good start on Friday evening versus Capital City Go-Go. But I do ask you to remind me to ask Coach Lashbrook about that when we chat with him before the game on Friday. And Coach Lashbrook, he's been absolutely phenomenal. And he, given credit to the ability to coach in the summer league, helped him prepare for this. Mm-hmm. He's been great with us, and his after timeout sets have been phenomenal, and clock management has been phenomenal. Another person has a bright future in his craft, and we both enjoyed chatting with him and appreciate the access.
Yeah, that number, and you may, folks that are Celtics fans, Boston Celtics fans, may have heard Joe Mazzulla mention the 25-point defensive quarters. I mean, Tyler Lashbrook has carried that over into Maine, and what do you know? Second quarter on Sunday, they held Westchester to 22 points. Maine's defense was very good. Also, offensively, they only turned the ball over once. Fourth quarter, you held Westchester to 21 points. Maine scored 29. So they're getting those sub-25-point defensive quarters to close out halves, which is a good sign. So you mentioned the starts. They're closing out halves well. So you like to see that okay, you'd rather, it's a cliche, but it's not how you start, it's how you finish kind of thing. But they've got that going for them. So it's full throttle, I think, by Capital City. They've got some athletic guys, driving kicks. That's the league now, right? Driving kick the basketball out. They're not as sharp shooting, at least the numbers tell us, 2 weeks in. I know it's early. My point overall, John, is, I mean, this is like any game, any level, keep an eye on the turnover margin. I think that could be the difference this weekend.
Agreed. And hopefully, you know, if Capital City Go-Go has still plagued by turnovers, the Celtics will take advantage. And again, the Celtics did a phenomenal job for the Maine Celtics on Sunday with deflections and transition defense. They get out and flew on Sunday. And we saw a couple of highlight dunks by J.D. Davidson, and we said this on the air. He was up so high, thought he could change some light bulbs.
And, Friday night will be a night game, so maybe that will be the case. Who knows? But, Friday night is at 7 o'clock at the Expo. Join us in the building, MaineCeltics.com, for tickets. Sunday is at 1 o'clock, so same schedule as last weekend. And then we're working our way towards the holiday. So we look forward to more here on the Maine Celtics podcast. Thanks to our guest this week, Jay Scrub, John Scheinman. We will see you this weekend. My name is Brendan Glasheen. Thank you, folks, for tuning in. We'll join you next time. Oh, before I leave, please, also, never mind coming to the games, subscribe to the podcast. Please hit subscribe, like the video. Just hit that little bell. You get notifications every time we go live. Huh? Come on, please do. MaineCeltics.com for tickets. Thanks, folks. For John Scheinman, Brendan Glasheen. We'll see you at the Expo this weekend.